All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Bellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Owen. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us, Peter. how are you, sir?
I don't even know how you can ask me that question right now. How do you think I am?
Pissed? Lonely?
I'm pretty discouraged. Well, pretty discouraged, not going to lie. Starting the season 0-2 doesn't feel good. Losing by 1.1 points on a miraculous comeback win on Sunday Night Football to you doesn't feel good.
Is that what the difference was? I can't remember.
1.1. Oh. Yep. I kept pulling up the scoreboard on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, just
looking for corrections,
hoping somewhere there's a fumble recovery that didn't get counted. Or
as soon as Chris said that, I was like, "Oh no, he's right. That is gonna happen. That's gonna happen and deflate my sales so fast." And I was pretty nervous about it, but here I stand.
Well, in week one, Chris and I didn't play each other, but we tied, or it looked like we tied at first, and then there was a stat correction on Monday or Tuesday that took my score down by 2, so we ended up not tying. But we were texting each other back and forth, like, hey, cool, we tied. And I went to check the scores again, and I was like, oh, we're not tied anymore. So there was a stat correction then, so I was hoping that there was another one.
Would you say, of those two bad beats, which one was worse? Just, you know, since we're talking about them.
I don't think we need to... get into it too much.
Oh, Pete, you know I'm just joshing. That game could have gone either way.
Can I say, I don't like the way you pander. Can I say that?
How do I pander?
You texted me and said, welp, good night.
I actually went to bed. I was out on
because
the couch.
You were still watching the game.
I was out on the couch. I watched the frustration building.
You were the first to celebrate the touchdown when it happened, and you have YouTube TV, so I know it's a little bit delayed, and still, you were the first one to jump in there celebrating, and you had texted me 15 minutes before, well, good night.
Because I brushed my teeth,
Matt
got
Ryan
in bed.
Third
I said,
interception of the game, I'm done, my goose is cooked, good night, and then... Like, you stole pandering from me, and I don't like the way you do it, because it's disingenuous every time.
Wait,
you know what you're doing.
Wait, I stole pandering?
Yes.
You mean I robbed you an opportunity for you to pander? Is that what you're saying?
No. Pandering was my thing, and now you've taken it and made it your thing, and you do it poorly because it's disingenuous. And the way I do it, I'm just wrong, you know? I truly believe in what I'm saying. And you say, well, good night, knowing full well you're going to stay up and watch the rest of the game. You're not going to sleep. No. bad form. I am
okay,
Peter
Rufio.
Panther.
Yeah.
You,
<All right.
laughs> you Hook are showing bad form.
Bad form. What would the world be like with Captain Hook? Here's the deal. I was on the couch. I saw that third interception and went, that's it, I'm toast. I turned off the game. I went, I brushed my teeth. I did. I went, I brushed my teeth, I got in bed, and I laid there staring at the ceiling, tapping my fingers on my chest, just thinking about it. And then I was like, forget this. And I grabbed my phone in bed, and I watched the rest of the game on my phone.
I don't even know why you would go, like, there was 9 minutes left in the game or something like that. I don't know why you would.
I was ticked off because I had such a bad weekend, and I did not deserve to win that game. And I was frustrated. That's why. I didn't deserve it. Okay, man. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I've really tried my best to not dwell on it and move forward, because when you lose by such a small number, especially on a comeback loss like that, there are just so many things you didn't think. Wow, I could have won if just like that one thing was different. Like if Alshon Jeffrey had caught one pass before he got hurt, I could have won. If I had started Robbie Anderson instead of D.D. Westbrook whatever. Yep, could have won. Easy. Yep. There's just so many things that you can just really make yourself vomit over. And I've tried my best to move on, move forward. So I made a trade and I felt better after that.
Well, would you have preferred, because the whole, this is just philosophy, and I know hindsight, it doesn't even matter. It's a if a what if situation that is totally irrelevant. But if I had played Greg Olsen, if I had somehow known that OJ Howard was going to get iced and played Greg Olsen, and I would have had a 17-point jump on you, would you have cared as much? Would it have been as bad of a beat, or would you prefer it to have been close?
Way less painful if you beat me by 17 points, because then, like, I didn't put up a good score. It's not like I put up a good score and you beat me. It's like, sure, we both put up bad scores and you just beat me by a little bit. So it would have been better if my crappy score resulted in a legitimate loss, sure, the way it should have, as opposed to dating a bad beat with, sure, you know, no time left in the game.
Well,
so,
total fluke, because I don't think we've ever had an NFL history or a week in NFL history where a DST was the top performer of the week. Is that...
Yeah, that was super obnoxious, that too, that, yeah, you had the Patriots defense. I mean, it's happened before, but, like, why did you have the Patriots defense? That's just...
Has it happened before where the defense scored the most points of any week?
Yeah, there's been some crazy scoring weeks like that by defenses. I don't know about the history of, you know, in fantasy being, you know, the overall top scorer, sure, but...
Well, just for the record, when I say, like, the history...
You had a bad week, too. It's just your, yeah, defense built you,
that's
up.
Right. That's what I was trying obnoxious to say. Yeah, that is obnoxious, and that's fair. What I was trying... By the way, when I say in NFL history, I'm talking about the greatest league in the world's history.
Right.
I don't think that's fantasy,
as far back,
yeah,
as history,
exactly,
goes.
It's as far as I, yeah, care. So I'm talking only that. just so we're clear. But
it's like baseball before the 1900s. It happened,
right,
but we don't recognize it.
Irrelevant. Yeah. Well, Pete... Good game. Like you said, our matchup will matter more deeper into the season. I look forward to that. Hopefully I have a different team by then. we'll see. We will see. I mean,
it's too bad that Windsor doesn't live closer, because then he and I could have, you know, met up and commiserated at a bar or something together.
Sure. Instead of having to get in the shower alone, fully clothed, rocking while you wept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, exactly. He was in the exact same boat as me, put up a bad score, but then had, you know, victory ripped from him on that same play, which is, I don't know if we ever had that before. Two, you know, last minute
on one play
score, yeah, flips on the same play. You know, on a Sunday night or Monday night like that. That was kind of crazy by such narrow margins for both of them. It was both by less than, you know, basically less than 1 point of a margin of victory. So crazy play. And,
yeah,
you know, it was fun and exciting. Just I was on the wrong end of it.
And I was clearly awake, clearly having pandered. By the way, wouldn't it also have been pandering if I had said goodnight to everyone in the group? Me, it was just to you. So I suppose
that doesn't make it different.
I think, well,
different.
Hang on, sitting over there quietly, and I respect him for managing to keep his mouth shut for this long. Charles, my friend, welcome to the show. Congratulations on where you stand. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. Compared to last year, if we all remember, I had an 0-4 start. So I'd like to think that this is a building year, as it relates to how I like to go about drafting and trading.
Yeah, you Houston Astroed us is what you did. Very well done, sir. It's working for you. Okay, so I'm bringing you into this conversation. I'd like you to comment on the pandering accusation. Knowing the facts, this accusation that has been thrown my way, where do you stand on this, sir?
Oh yeah, you for sure pandered.
Son of
a... Oh yeah. The fact that you sent it directly to Peter and not to anyone else, that's what pushed it over the edge for me.
Well,
for sure.
Wow, yeah. I really misread your nodding, your silent nodding earlier. I was like, Charles is agreeing with me. I need to bring him in on this conversation and quick. Clearly, he's on the same page as me. He Trojan horsed me. All right.
Yeah. Well, it worked for you. It worked for you. So,
well, Charles, we're really glad that you're able to join us on the show this evening. Yeah. Obviously, you are 2-0. You have scored the most points in both Week 1 and Week 2. You know, you're second. second week score was lower than your first week score, but it was still the, you know, third highest score on the season for any team across the league. So you're just crushing everyone. So I wanted to definitely have you on, and so you could tell us everything that we don't know about fantasy football, and you could just enlighten us, you know, in terms of, you know, how this came to be.
Well, it's funny how you asked the question, only because I feel like I'm really learning from you guys. Wow. I'm at wow. your feet and trying my best just to get a glimpse of how this whole game works.
So. Seth is making a motion as if he's pulling out a lightsaber, because Charles is just going full Padawan to the masters now. And you know, I think we can say the Padawan has become the master. You were making a lightsaber motion, right?
So, that's right. Okay. So, all right. Man,
I will say my conversation before we got on the air was maybe a little bit more confident in where I stand today. But as it relates to my comments on the record, I just want to make sure everyone knows how grateful and humble I am to be where I am today with regard to the standings.
Uh-huh. Okay. So let's talk about Charles, you're a faithful listener. You're a faithful listener to the show. You keep those tabs on, and you're an active commentator on the material and content that comes out. Now, we've had various bits of feedback on your draft, on the overall strategy, and comments moving forward in the league. So let's go back to the draft. Give us a little bit of information, kind of what you were thinking going into the draft, what your strategy was, what was different this year. Remember, this is only the second time, true, that you've played fantasy football, let alone your second time you've done an auction draft. Is that accurate?
That's right. That's right.
Wow. Okay. So tell us what was different going into this draft and strategically speaking.
All right. So, well, on a serious note, so a number of different things. One, I did go back a couple years just to see who actually won for the season. You can go back only so far, and then ESPN gives you an error.
Shocker.
So you can't, you can't quite see. But I tried to find some common denominators and who placed first, second, and third. So that's kind of one thing. Another, so the strategy with regard to this draft was just to get the best players I could get. So I remember there were comments coming from the group when I was drafting. Charles, do you have somewhere to be? You're spending so much so early. You beginner. You have no idea what you're doing. Maybe it didn't go that far, but there were comments made. What gave me confidence in my draft was knowing I had a plan, and they always call that one person crazy, the person that sometimes ends up in the position that I'm in now.
we've never seen it done the way you did it this year before, in terms of you got Saquon and Zeke. Now there was a little bit of, you know, some questions around Zeke with his contract status being up in the air after Le'Veon last year. Kind of probably seized on an opportunity there where it wasn't the same situation and Zeke was not likely to hold out all season. So maybe you got a discount on him there. But certainly I don't think we've ever seen someone get two of the top running backs. There's always like a group of 3, 4, or 5 running backs that are like
without a keeper, that is.
Yeah, exactly. So but just because no one's done it before doesn't mean that it is not going to work. And it is certainly working for you so far this year. I mean, I think just having Zeke and Saquon and then going with Mahomes at quarterback, that just puts your floor for points scored every week so much higher than everyone else. And it's not even about, you know, having the ceiling weeks. You'll get those because your floor is so high. And all those players, you know, will have those ceiling weeks like we saw you do in week 1. We you know, scored 200 points, but and you didn't have a full Zeke then. So I think it's a really good strategy, and it's certainly going to be copied. Mm-hmm. Which I think you know makes it a good one.
Yep. Well, I did know there were a bit of frustration on the value of running backs in this league. I think that last year there was a little bit, I don't say frustration, that's a strong word, but maybe concern that their value was higher than what they actually produced. I think there is a threshold where that is true, but once you cross that threshold, the price becomes worth it. At least that's what I think.
And then you kind of did this last year in terms of spending big quick. Last year, you got Antonio Brown for 70, DeAndre Hopkins for 72, and Demaryius Thomas for 30, and then you were pretty much tapped out after that. So you spent big quick again this year. Obviously, I think you placed much safer bets. And, you know, a lot of times we say, you know, you hear people talk about how you can, you know, go with zero running back strategy because you can get some late or you pick them up on the waiver wire because, you know, running backs always get hurt and that sort of thing. But I think you locked in some really strong plays, some really, you know, safe plays with high upside with how you spent this year going bold. And it's certainly paid off for you after 2 weeks. So definitely impressed and a good strategy. I like how you use history and, you know, other things to try and formulate your strategy and execute on it so well.
I appreciate that. I will say that this is one thing I did not mention when we were off the air, but there is a pending trade.
Oh.
There is a pending trade.
Oh. All right. Breaking news.
Breaking news. I don't know how much I can share right now, but I will say the trade involves, as of right now, one of my top producers.
Really?
So, I think the reason I'm sharing this information right now is to convey that I am open for business as it relates to trades. I don't want other members of the league to think if since I have such a as of right now put up healthy numbers that I'm not willing to trade. I am very open to doing that as long as it makes sense.
Well, your modesty is admirable as it is artificial, but
yeah,
you're going to sell high while somebody's hot and go for depth, I would imagine. Maybe try to go one for twofer. Okay. I was going to say. All right. Well, as I analyze your team.
Not much of an announcement, I got to say. As far as news goes.
If anything, it just sounds like you're using my podium to accomplish your agenda.
Like, there's no way, like, even as lead commissioner, I can't validate whether that's true or not. Like, I can't go and see if you've even proposed a trade to someone or if someone's proposed a trade to you. So, like, it could be totally fake news, and you're just trying to get your point across.
Oh my gosh. Edit all this out.
That's right.
Just gonna cut it right out. Just gonna put one long censor beep. Just beep, just the whole thing. And we're back. Charles, you held on to Evan Engram. We had him valued at around $14. You held him for zero. It's a good solid snag, especially given how, as we've discussed, the tight end side was pretty dry this go around. If you didn't have a top two, you were really kind of left with I don't know. There's a very big gap between the top two and the remaining tight ends. And if you didn't have...
I'm going to have to interrupt you just briefly just to give credit where credit is due. That was very much a team effort on keeping the tight end. One that I...
That's news.
Tell me more.
Did you just say collusion? I think you just said collusion.
That's what I heard.
Team effort.
I'm going to have to go back to the bylaws.
Well, the reason that it wasn't, very similar actually to our current political landscape,
yeah,
is because the request was public. my request for
collusion.
For thoughts and insights,
call it something different than it
were what was public. So that's the legal differentiation right there. I just want to be clear.
I'm going to go ahead and take a gander, take a guess here at your accomplice, and I bet his name was Jared.
You know, I can neither confirm or deny who actually was most helpful, because there actually were multiple people.
I'm about to say, you just
people.
Pete, any what do you have to say?
I have insider knowledge of this delusion.
You were involved?
No. I did not direct him what to do as others did. Others told him exactly who he should keep. I did not. Now, this is really interesting, like when you're hustled playing pool, or you know, yeah. Charles starts last season 0-4.
Like what Brock does.
Yeah, or Charles starts last season 0-4. And then now he comes into the offseason like, who should I keep? Like, man. Guys, I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm still a rookie here. Right. You know, like
right now, I am pulling up his team from last year, and I'm going to see who drafted members of his team from last year, who had a motive to keep Charles from keeping these players. Let's see here. Hang on. Stand by.
No, there was probably, I bet he probably got three responses to his plea for help, at least three. yeah, I was one of them. I did not tell him who to keep, though, but I know others did. So,
Charles, I hope you end up on a billboard this year, buddy.
I do find it interesting that you admit openly to collusion, though.
I'm pretty sure I did not say open to insights and opinions, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right. Well, so you had some help, big air quotes, on your selection of a keeper, Evan Ingram, saving about $14 there with the freebie, and snagging a top tier for the most part tight end, especially given that the pool of tight ends was going to be quickly saturated and snagged up by Peter Elwood himself, paying the big bucks for the big tight ends. How's that working out there for you, Pete? You don't have to answer that. So the next pickup that you had was, well, the next three, actually. And when we say you came out guns firing, you spent $163 over the next three transactions. And not only did that, you know, come out with a lot of dollars raining down in big chunks, they were back to back to back. You had pick number 12 in the league and then pick number 13 in the league. And pick number 16, and that includes the keeper transactions, which of those there were 11, because as we all know, Michael forfeited his keeper. So that means that the number one snag and the number two snag and the number four snag were Zeke, Barkley, and Mahomes in that order. And so, yeah, we were all a little overwhelmed with the making it rain flow of cash coming out of the congressman's what do you call it?
War chest.
Sure. Great. Followed by your kicker, Justin Tucker, much to the chagrins. You were pretty quiet. You didn't pick up another player until transaction number 60, and then the rest of it was somewhere between $2 upwards of $9 picks. $9 being a running back in James White. So all the cash up front. You really picked up what we would say would be those three studs up front. Tell me about the Sammy Watkins pick. Now, I'm going to ask you to be honest, because when we looked at your team, and Peter rated you slightly lower than I did, we were concerned about depth. And since then, depth has not been an issue, as you have nearly made back half of your initial league buy-in in top score the past 2 weeks. Sammy Watkins being the secret sauce in your wide run that is keeping you afloat there. So tell us about that pick, as well as did you have depth concerns in your strategy, or do you feel like you picked them well all the way through?
So with regard to my earlier picks, I wrote on a sheet of paper the top five people that I wanted to draft. Four of them I drafted. With regard to depth, it was kind of an all or nothing sort of approach. So to the comment made, I think last week on, let's see where Charles is come week 10 or week six or something along those lines. There is a little bit of truth to that. The strategy is, as long as my players stay healthy, I'm in a good spot. The moment someone, and this is the Achilles heel of the strategy, gets hurt, I will be in a not so pleasant situation. I think my numbers will dramatically fall, but I don't think I'll be out of contention. With regard to Watkins, Peter wrote a note with regard to the post-draft rankings. And as he had me as number seven, I guess here, grade being a B, but he did write a note. If fortune favors the bold, Lady Luck ought to be smiling at you. Well, so far that seems to be the case. Mm-hmm. Now, once all players on Kansas side of the ball, offense, become healthy and those sorts of things, I may be in a different situation, but as it relates to right now, there's no way Watkins receives 40 points if he weren't in that position.
Yeah, so you know, we know you drafted the stud running backs and the stud quarterback, and then you kind of rolled a Yahtzee on the wide receivers with, you got Larry Fitzgerald is the number 12 wide receiver on the season, Watkins the number one wide receiver. You know, early, but number one wide receiver through 2 weeks. Then you added from waivers with really smart ads of John Ross is the number two wide receiver, and then Terry McLaurin is the number 12, who's tied with Fitzgerald for number 12 wide receiver. So, you know, basically looking across your entire starting lineup, top 10, top 12 players at their position, which, yeah, that always looks really nice when you're looking at the team page. It will be interesting to see when Tyreek Hill returns for the Chiefs, and A.J. Green theoretically returns for the Bengals. What happens to Watkins and Ross? Sure. And yeah, so we'll see how you manage that. You certainly won the draft. You are the early chip leader, but as we've seen before, winning the draft and being the early chip leader at the poker table does not always translate to being the one cashing the checks at the end of the season. But you've got those two weekly wins already under your belt. Can't take that away from you. So I'm excited to see how you manage the rest of the season because it's obviously been a Dane Busters start for you.
You're here.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. So far, it's been a lot of fun. I have two goals for the season that I was able to share with Peter a moment ago. One, was to eclipse that that 230 mark if possible, and another is to have a perfect season. So far, we're heading in that direction.
Perfect season meaning undefeated?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well, right now it doesn't look like anyone's going to beat you because I mean the projected score isn't everything. But your projected score is like 20 points higher than the next closest person week in and week out. So we'll see what happens with bye weeks and injuries as they pile up. But maybe you just have that lucky unicorn season where avoid those injuries.
We'll see.
I mean, I think you will.
Okay. I think we're all done here. Okay.
So before you go, I think it was. Was it Ben this week that declared the game of the week a little prematurely? And granted, he's allowed to do whatever he would like. It's just not official. obviously, this is a week that we have the 2-0 teams going up against one another in the form of my congressman as Charles Gaines takes on Derek Irwin, CFL Rejects. Derek is also 2-0. having squeezed one out in the very last play of the game last week. Before you go, Charles, let's do a rundown of this matchup, and we'll get some live feedback from you based on how you're feeling about this matchup. Pete, who looks good?
All right, so Derek had Derek Henry go for him tonight. He scored 11.6 points. I think that was probably a little bit below expectations, so he's currently projected for 123. Charles is again projected at over 150 at 151. Derek's got Aaron Rodgers at home versus Denver. He's got Peyton Barber at home for the Giants. Then Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, Josh Gordon, Marvin Jones at wide receiver, and Darren Waller at tight end. We've already, I think, run through all of Charles's team. So, you know, I think just looking at the matchup, ignoring the projected points, Charles's team looks a lot stronger here in terms of matchups and the spots that these players are in. So I think this will be another victory for my congressman.
Yeah, I wish I could say that this week looks stronger than it does, but Derek's team doesn't look formidable as I had predicted and kind of hoped, and it looks like Charles will once again wear the crown, not only in a victory of a 3-0, but also potentially in the highest points scored this week.
And, you know, outside of Charles's team, I feel like we're having lower scores. I haven't gone back and checked this, but I feel like we're having lower scores overall throughout the season so far this year compared to what we've had in prior years. I mean, I was looking at it and just, you know, on points scored, I'm ranked like sixth or seventh in the league. And, you know, obviously my team is garbage, but I think I'm sixth. And, you know, we've got several teams that are averaging under 130 points per game. And I feel like an average score has typically been like 140. But, you know, Michael has the second most points in the league and he's at 283. So that's, you know, just averaging a little bit over 140. So, you know, I think except for Charles, everyone else is not scoring very highly right now. And I feel like it's just kind of lead scoring overall is down a little bit, which we don't see usually until, you know, later in the season with mm-hmm. bye weeks and stuff when you've got fewer players to play. So I think that's an interesting trend to start the season. I didn't check it, you know, obviously against last year or any other year, but I feel like we're having a lower scoring start to the year than normal.
I definitely agree with you on that, especially week two. We had some barely crossing over into the 100-point range. Brock being one of our lower scorers this last week with 112.6. Chris put up 114.2, getting beat by Derek with only 115. Michael put up 113 points. You and I were just under 120. I think I said Brock was the lowest. He was not. Chewy being the lowest at 110. Brock being next to him at 112.6. So definitely week two was a much lower than average scoreboard across the entire league. But that may be tainting how the overall average feels, because week one, we did have some pretty strong performers. Chris had 141 points. Brock had 160. You lost to him with 141. Chris won with 141. Everyone was surprised when Michael scored 168 points. And we, of course, had Charles with over 200 points, beating out Ben, who had 143. So week one was looking like the typical smash and grab that week ones have kind of generally looked like, I think, historically. But definitely week two took us down an average. And right now, even week three's projections are looking like our average is going to be a little bit lower. So definitely a phenomenon. I want to see the overall league comparison data. I think that would be good year to year.
Yeah, and you're probably right. It's probably just week two skewing my perspective a little bit because of all of the in-game injuries that happened, you know, with like Drew Brees going out and he scored like negative half a point, and Roethlisberger going out and, you know, he didn't put up a big score. And there were, you know, several other injuries that happened during the game that either knocked guys out for the whole game or knocked out guys, you know, for a little while and then they came back later. You know, across the league, we scored 1,490 points in week two. That would have been the lowest score for the league in any week of last season. The lowest last season was 1,555, so about 65 points higher than week two this season. So yeah, week two was just a down week, and I suppose perhaps we'll see it bounce back up a little bit this week, though. Yeah, projected scores really don't look like they're there yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
2 points don't make a trend, but it definitely feels lower scoring. And right now it just feels like we all have a pretty big mountain to climb if we're going to beat Mr. Charles Gaines. Charles, thanks for joining us on the air. Any sign-off words from you, sir?
Well, there's one. It would be silly of me to get rid of my umbrella just because it's sunny outside. And I would apply that same philosophy to my current team. Although things are looking good right now, there is a sincere concern about the horizon, especially if someone were to get hurt. So I'm enjoying it now, but we'll see how things pan out over the next few weeks.
Man, once again, your humble approach is just so
so proud to be humble.
Just a thoughtful human being. Well, Charles, thanks for being on the air with us. Thanks for being in our league. Thanks for adding the value that you do. We haven't even tipped our hat to the fact that you, sir, are the king of the GIF hill, or do you pronounce it GIF? I am curious. I think that you being the reigning authority on the animated meme, you get to decide how you'd like to pronounce it, but you certainly know how to add the reactionary humor into the GroupMe like no other.
Thank you. Thank you.
How do you pronounce it?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So political all the time. Won't even take a stance on how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Won't even show.
This is great.
And he's
this
apparently is... got a trade underway. Ooh. Ooh, but...
So if anyone wants to trade before this trade goes through,
I'm sorry.
You're acting as if this podcast is going to get released in the next 2 days. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hold off just to throw a wrench in your devious plan here. Come on my show.
Oh my, I love it. This is so great. This is so great.
Charles, good talking to you. Yep. Happy for you. Happy for your start to the season. And looking forward to seeing what comes next.
Okay. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Good night, Charles.
Good night.
What a guy.
Awesome.
He's beating the crap out of us.
Yeah.
Pete, what are we going to do about it? If anybody should collude, it should be the 11 of us versus Charles.
I tried to jinx him as best I could.
You did a really admirable job.
Thank you.
He had some pretty good anti-jinx juju going on here, but you did your best.
We're going to have to write a fictional story about his offseason, though. He got collusion pre-draft.
Yep.
Obviously, he stole auction draft dollars from somewhere.
Clearly.
He had some additional campaign funding that was under the table to have as much auction draft dollars as he had. And yeah, we'll just keep building on the story here. We'll sell a novel.
All right. I'm all for it. Meanwhile, we've got some exciting matchups, lots of closely projected teams this week. In fact, at a quick glance, it looks like, with the exception of Andy running up the score on me with his defense today, and, of course, Charles's matchup, most of our matchups are within about 5 points projected, if not tighter than that. Yours being the other exception, it's about 10.5 points spread.
Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean squat, but I'm just trying to segue here. So thanks for stepping on that. Meanwhile, let's jump over. I'd like to talk specifically about your matchup this week. You are 0-2. You're hoping to snap the trend here. You're facing Michael, who came out week one with a vengeance, a little bit of a chip or boulder on his shoulder, if you will, given his puny rank in our post-draft ratings, and did quite well. Not nearly as competent looking this next week. Has a couple of questionable positions in his lineup currently. And you are right now projected to beat him by about 11 points. How are you feeling about this matchup? How are you feeling about being 0-2, excluding the pain of a last week bad beat?
You know, the way our schedule works out, we always play those first two games of the season within the division. Mm-hmm. And then the next six games are outside the division before you come back and play the last five games against your division. Obviously, the intra-divisional games were rough on me, so I am hoping that sitting to play the other division will go much better for me. You know, last year, the incumbents really stomped the Challengers division when we had interleague play there. So I'm hoping that trend continues this year. I don't feel super great about my team. You know, 0-2, it's hard to feel great about your team. I think there are certain spots that I like, but overall, I feel like I'm scrambling a little bit, trying to get the pieces put together. I don't think I have any super strong plays on my side. Michael has Dalvin Cook at home against Oakland, and Dalvin Cook has been awesome to start the season, and that's not a very intimidating matchup, and he's at home. I think he'll have a really big day. So, and Tyler Murray actually at home against Carolina. I think that's a good spot for Tyler Murray, probably the best spot he's had all season. Whereas, you know, before he faced the Lions and the Ravens, which have, I think, stronger defenses, and then Carolina, so he should have a lot of opportunity to put up points. You know, other than that, there's not a lot of great spots I like on Michael's team either. You know, obviously, I started out projected ahead by 3 points. His defense put up a goose egg tonight, so now I'm projected ahead by 10 or 11. But it's definitely to be too close for comfort, and Michael's got two players on Sunday night and one player on Monday night, so I will never be comfortable all weekend long. And yeah, I can't even pick myself to win this one. So,
well, don't be too scared just yet. Yes, Dalvin Cook might have just a monster week. Even Kyler Murray might have a monster week this week, but I'd be honestly surprised if Josh Jacobs plays this week. And I don't think Jordan Reed is going to play at all. I'm not even sure why he has him in the lineup. Drew Brees is out, and so he doesn't have any other option other than Kyler Murray. You're not as bad off as you're making it sound. I don't think you're just pandering to the crowd right now. Because Lamar Jackson has been on fire, sir. He is up against Kansas City, and that may be a little tough here, but the chances of him going bonkers are pretty good. Devonta Freeman being another a bad showing last week. Definitely needs to make up for that with some TDs for you. I don't think that you are in the hole just yet. Travis Kelce up against Baltimore, I like that matchup for you. You've got the Chargers up against Houston. I don't love that matchup. You may want to think about that one a little bit more. Whoa. I'm not crying over your team. I swear. You may want to reconsider that one. But other than that, dude, you have a chance here. And I don't think that it's a sure win for him. In fact, because of how hot Lamar Jackson is, and because I think Devonta Freeman is going to bounce back, I'm going to call this one for you.
All right. I mean, I guess I should pick my own team. Probably have some really bad mojo if you don't. And I am projected ahead right now. But, I mean, call it a draw right now.
All right. We'll call it a draw.
All right, let's talk about your matchup against Andy. Andy's got Delanie Walker and the Jaguars defense, who both put up respectable, if not above expected, scores tonight. So he's off to an early lead with 28 points tonight and is currently projected ahead by 17, where he started out projected ahead by 4 and change. He's got Tom Brady going against the Jets at home. You know, pretty easy matchup for the Patriots there. Chris Carson and Todd Gurley, Odell Beckham, and then Emmanuel Sanders for Andy is like a miracle because he ruptured his Achilles last December, which I think of Achilles injuries as being like the black mark on athletes, and they never get their explosiveness back after Achilles injuries. I think we've seen that a lot with running backs and even like basketball players, where they're just not as explosive when they return. But Manny Sanders has had no problems whatsoever, and he put up a big score last week. Tougher matchup at Green Bay this week, but certainly hats off to Andy for drafting him, and you know, bigger credit to Sanders for playing so well. And he's got David Montgomery at Washington. Maybe not a great matchup, but I think the arrow is pointing up on Montgomery. So I think it's good for Andy. He's got off to a good start. There's not, you know, besides maybe Brady, there's not a ton of matchups I like a lot here. I think it just goes to the kind of lower scoring nature that we've seen. I think he's still protected for a good solid score, and it'll still be tough for you to beat him, even if he doesn't have any an overwhelmingly awesome looking team right now.
Yeah, I'm worried about Brady this week up against the Jets. That's probably my I was really not loving watching the Jaguars run it up on me tonight, but we will see. I think my key to the matchup is twofold. One, I need Matt Ryan to get out there and do what he does well and quit throwing interceptions. And I'm really concerned. I did not anticipate what not having Drew Brees would do to Alvin Kamara's performance. That hurt big time. And so I hope they get into a rhythm in practice this week is all I'm saying, because I need him to be the number one running back that he has the potential to be. Granted, the Patriots are up against the New York Jets this week, so there's a good chance that they might run up a good DST score for me, and I'm not putting any risk on O.J. Howard. So we'll see what that looks like. But yeah, I'm not very confident in this one this week.
Yeah, I think Kamara without Breeze, because it's either going to be Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill at quarterback for New Orleans. That's total wild card. And, Kamara is certainly talented enough that he could still have a big day, but certainly feel less confident in the Saints offense overall, unless they just totally rest, put everything on Kamara and try to have him carry them to victory. That would be good for you. But other than that, I'm not so sure.
All right, we will see.
Who are you pitching in this one?
Well, like you said, bad juju, not pick yourself. So I'm going to stick with my team.
Yeah, in this one, I think before tonight's game, I would pick you. But because Andy got some certainty there with fantasy, I always think a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. It hasn't worked out for me so far because I've had two comeback losses, but. Typically having those points early on the board, I think, is better, especially when they're, above expectations and then kind of hoping on the rest of the players to come back and beat their projections. So I'm going to take Andy on this one.
All right. Well, I don't blame you for that. If it weren't me, I would also take Andy. So that'll take us over to Chris Windsor and Scott. Tonight, Scott had his WR2 in the form of DJ Shark up, and he did well. Nice. He put up a reception tonight for the touchdown as well as 76 yards, and so he jumped to an early lead of 17.6, slightly over projection. So he hasn't quite come close to Chris's projected 138. You've got Jimmy G up in Pittsburgh this week. They might be running over Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh is reeling. And he's got McCaffrey, who's looking for a bounce back week after an abysmal week two, but looking better up against Arizona this week. Push for push. I like George Kittle in Pittsburgh, obviously. I think that game is going to be kind of the key to the matchup. I love anybody up against the Giants. So Chris Godwin this week. Don't know if Marlon Mack is going to play. I think he's fine. I think they're just taking it easy in practice this week. He's got the Bears defense up against Washington, so that might be a sore spot. We will see. But ultimately, I think that Chris's team is probably the most balanced in between the two of these. I think Scott is going to depend more so on higher individualized performances. There's a little bit more question on his team in terms of players. Are they actually going to play? And then if they do play, he just hasn't been putting up a ton of points as of week two. So what is your take on Scott's team and the matchup overall?
Yeah, I think Chris's team here is more complete and with higher upside. Even at the quarterback position, Scott has Mitch Trubisky, who's been pretty bad in 2 weeks, and now he's probably an easier matchup against the Redskins than he had the first 2 weeks against the Packers and the Broncos. So maybe he has that going for him, and this is a bounce back spot for Trubisky. But I think across the still positions, I like the spots that Chris's players are in. You know, the 17.6 points from Chark for Scott tonight is probably higher than I expected. Certainly, I thought there'd be a kind of a fantasy dud of a Dame tonight, and there ended up being a couple of good spots. So that helps Scott, certainly, but I still like Chris's team overall here better for both the you know, safety, the raw projections, as well as upside. So I'm going to take Chris's side on this one.
Yep. All right. I am as well.
Okay, that brings us to Brock and Chewy. Both teams, or sorry, Brock is 1-1. Chewy is my compadre at 0-2.
My number one ranked out of the draft compadre at 0-2. I was wrong.
At least we appropriately ranked me as a bottom third team. Chewy and I executed a trade today. You know, just the two bottom teams trying to pull each other up by our bootstraps. I sent him Dak Prescott in exchange for Christian Kirk. I think it makes both of our teams better. Probably bumped up our projected score for this week by a couple points, given that the you know I had depth at quarterback, having both the number one and number two quarterback right now early in the season, and Chewy had like five or six decent wide receivers. So I think that was a really good fit and a good trade that helps him. I think Prescott's in a really good spot this week against Miami at home. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Kerryon Johnson after the Lions cut C.J. Anderson. Don't know if his role will be expanded or if they'll just give it to backup or you know give some more touches to a backup running back there. Austin Eckler has been off to a ridiculous start for Chewy. In Melvin Gordon's absence. Don't see why that would stop this week. I think Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, and Calvin Ridley are all in pretty good spots this week, as well as Stephon Diggs, his fourth wide receiver. Just depends on if the Vikings need to throw the ball at all at home against Oakland. So we'll see what happens there. So I think for an 0-2 team, but if I had to choose between my team and Chewy's team, I would take Chewy's team this week, and I think he's in a pretty good spot to snag a victory here. What do you think about Brock's team?
I like Brock's team. I think he's underprojected. Deshaun Watson in Houston, they've been just chomping away. He already has 427 yards after 2 weeks, which is great considering where they came out of last year. They have a lot of momentum. They've got a lot of power on the offense right now and a lot of options. I obviously Austin Eckler has been awesome, but going up against Houston's line, he might get slowed down a little bit and come back down into reality this week. So, Brock, as you so eloquently put, I believe this week in his power ranking that he kind of rises and falls with Houston. This matchup for Houston is favorable for Brock, and so that's why I think he's underprojected. At the end of the day, though, I do think that the balance that Chewy has, as well as a little bit more matchup upside, I think that this is going to be a close one. This is going it is going to be tough. 49ers against Pittsburgh with a new and shaky offense. This is a tough call. This might be, in my mind, the tightest push of the week. And for that reason, I'll just say Brock because you went Chewy, and we'll see who comes out on top.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this would be a really good matchup. This should be a close one. I hope it's a close one. Close games are always fun. Yeah. They're certainly projected to be close right now. And we, you know, always cheering for the switch factor. So I hope Chewy gets a win here.
Every bit. All right. Well, that'll take us over to Ben and Jared.
Kind of sounds like Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, it kind of does. Like a little, little ice cream flavor.
Kind of cute.
Yeah. It's adorable. Adorable. Ben has got Carson Wentz at the helm. They're up against Detroit this week. Leonard Fournette topped off this evening. I don't think he had a touchdown. He put up 15 points. And Le'Veon Bell is up against New England this week. That's coming off of a big win defensively. So Le'Veon's got some work to do there. Obviously, I don't think the Pats are going to do nearly as well as they did last week, but still, New York Jets offense isn't anything to write home about right now. Devontae Adams in Denver this week. or excuse me, playing Denver this week. They're at home, so that's probably a better than it would be otherwise. Tyrell Williams, I'm not sure what's going on with him. He's questionable. Are you aware of if he's okay?
He has a hip pointer, but I don't know if that what that means for his playing status or not.
A hip pointer.
Mm-hmm.
His hip is pointing?
It sounds rude, doesn't it?
Sounds. Well, DeMarcus Robinson in the flex up against Baltimore. Yeah. He's had two touchdowns to start off the season this go round, and that's the big pickup. Ben dropped bank on DeMarcus Robinson. I think he spent $51 of his FAAB. There you go. Of his FAAB. And I think all of us probably, or most of us, bid on him. I was not in the stratosphere with him, and I think Derek was the second highest. I dropped in somewhere in the 20s. Where were you on that one?
I think I bid like 18. Not expecting to win it, but more so like he needs to go for at least this much. just price enforcing. I thought it was chasing last week's points. I don't think he'll have as good of a week this week. Yeah. Where he just went nuts last week, and I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a sustainable point scored. And you know, he's projected for 11 points. I would, I'll bet the under on that. Right. I'll say he scores under 11. It doesn't crack double digits. He's gonna have like a 2 for 50 kind of game. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
What do you think about Jared's team?
I think Jared's actually in a really good spot. He's got Josh Allen at home against Cincinnati, who has a bad defense, just got ripped up by the 49ers, and Josh Allen's kind of a dual threat quarterback there. I love that. He's got David Johnson at home against Carolina. I think that's a really good spot for David Johnson. Matt Breda at home versus Pittsburgh. Not sure about what the timeshare's going to be in San Francisco, but I think Breda's awesome, and 49ers should win the game, so that should be good for him. Keenan Allen is in a lot of targets, and he's against Houston's bad secondary this week. I think that's a fine place to be. And then, you know, just jumping down, he's at the Cowboys' defense at home against Miami, and we saw what New England's defense just did on the road at Miami. And I think the Cowboys, maybe the defense is as talented as New England's, but you know they have enough talent on their defense that they can put up a pretty good score here as well. And you know Miami's terrible, and Miami's switching quarterbacks this week, and you know who knows what's going on. So I think just having the Cowboys defense might be the difference maker here. So I'm going to say Jared's side on this one.
I lean towards Jared as well. That's the call I'm going to make.
All right. Well, I think we're pretty evenly split between you know who we think is going to win, as well as which division side of things we think is going to win. So that'll be something to watch for in terms of whether the incumbents can continue to beat the challengers. But you know, just having Charles in the challengers division and Ben has a good team in the challengers division this year as well. Andy's got a good team right now. Also, I think there is a lot to like in terms of this being a much more even year between the divisions and just overall. Just you know, I think we're getting sharper across the board. I think every manager is stepping up their game and playing really well. So I like it as from a league perspective. I don't like it because it has not gone so well for my team so far. But good for the league.
It's fun to see, even though I put no stock in the projected playoff matchups, it is fun to see a nice even split between the incumbents and the challengers divisions already posting up. We're about half and half in terms of 2 weeks into the season, seeing those points laid out the way they are, which is really exciting. As you say, I think it speaks to the quality of the league. I go back to the way that our draft charts looked and how strategically there's not a ton of outliers, even though there may have been a couple of different strategies in there. Ultimately, there's a very nice flow to the overall draft, and everybody's just trying to get theirs for what they can, and may the best man win.
Indeed. And after this week with Derek and Charles playing each other, we're only gonna have one undefeated team left after this week. If you know Chewy and or I did a win, that'll knock out some of the winless teams also. So we should have a pretty tight bunch in the standings after this week, and then you might start separating a little bit after that. But we'll see what happens. It's kind of the transition from, oh, still early in the season, and all of a sudden you start to realize, ah, there's only, you know, 7 weeks left until a playoff start, as we get down to it, it gets real, man.
Real. Can I make a comment about this week's power rankings?
Bring it.
Scandalous is the comment. You had a couple of very sharp little one-liners in there, as well as some PG-13 or some R-rated comments in there.
Feeling salty after the
clearly,
loss. Took it out on the power rankings.
That was my question. I think we could all tell what kind of mood you were in when you cranked those out. Well, good stuff, Pete. Looking forward to the weekend ahead. Thanks for always contributing the value that you do. It's good to have Charles on the air tonight. Looking forward to putting this one together and hearing him out again as he put forward his agenda to the masses. We'll see if there's any responses to that. I wouldn't be surprised, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.
So Charles called me before we went on the air, and you should have heard him talking, you know, one-on-one before. Just total pompous bragging, just Mr. Hot Stuff, and then just went way more, tried to really play up the humble card. Yep.
Man.
I told him to bring the fire. I told him I want all of his pride on the show, and he definitely dialed it back.
Shoot,
so.
Man, he wouldn't even take a stance on how to pronounce GIF.
Yeah, but I mean, on camera, he's back there dancing in the background, and would just
cracking.
Yeah, but viewers or listeners don't see that.
You're up against Abe Froman's. How do you pronounce Froman? Is it From? I actually, believe it or not, I've never seen this movie.
I've never seen it all the way through myself.
Well, here we go.
That's going to the outtakes.
Straight to the outtakes.
I mean,
so Charles, you held on to Evan Engram for $14 as your keeper. I had him down, and Fantasy Pros had him down as $14 value.
Held him for zero, though. He paid nothing for him.
Where's my, hang on. Oh, there it is. Cost zero. I was looking at the wrong column. There it is.
Erase that out.
Uh-huh. So, Charles, you held on to Evan Engram. It's the magic of production right there. Amazing. Amazing. Seth and Peter are never wrong.
Never watched Ferris Bueller, huh?
No, I never did. Always.
Is that just your thing to not watch the super popular movies? You probably didn't realize there was a quote from Remember the Titans in the Power Rankings.
Is that because I haven't seen Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
That's the low blow. And I'm going to go with Chris Windsor's comment. Yep.
Right. You probably didn't, but you didn't know. You didn't know it was a quote from Remember the Titans.
Well, I saw Coach Boone, and so that gave it away. I know who's in.
I assume you know Denzel's in. I don't know if you know his name, though.
Best actor ever. He's so darn cool. He's so darn clever.